Chapter 89. When you want the guy at the top, you start at the bottom of the totem pole and work your way up, is what Jesse's first detective partner had said to him. It was advice he heeded every time he'd built a case against someone up the food chain. And that was just what he meant to do now. "You got it, Molly," he asked. "When you see me come to the glass and finger comb my hair, you turn the speaker on in the break room. Make sure Roscoe Niles hears it loud and clear, and make sure he's shackled to the table. If she catches wind of this, she'll clam up." "I heard you the first time, Jesse. We'll have Gabe and Peter in there with him. He's going to hear it." "Her file?" "On the table." "I'll be in there," Jesse said, pointing at the interview room. Jesse was seated, facing the mirrored glass, when Bella Lawton came into the room. She was dressed in tight white jeans, sandals, and a low-cut black top that accentuated her shape. She was perfectly made up, but there were cracks in her armor. Nobody, not even the most experienced criminals, enjoy a visit to the interview room. Jesse smiled, stood, and pulled out a chair for her. She sat as Jesse went back around the table and also sat. "Frankly, Jesse, I would have preferred being summoned to a motel or your bedroom. But if this is your style..." "Isn't this where you interrogate people?"
"We prefer interview to interrogate." Jesse opened the file in front of him on the table.
"Bella Ann Ligari. You even photograph well in mugshots." He turned her Boston PD mugshot to face her. She was unintimidated.
"I was young and stupid, and I needed money," she said. "None of my patrons left dissatisfied."
"Except for one," Jesse said. "The complaint says you stole his wallet, his Rolex, and his ring." She laughed.
"It was his wedding band. Can you believe it? The guy paid to have sex with an 18-year-old girl. He thought I was 16, and had the nerve to bitch about his wedding ring being lifted. Look, Jesse, people change. I changed. I've made a new life for myself, a better life."
"That's true. You've moved up a few rungs. Your website is beautifully done. I imagine your high-end clientele pay you well enough so that you don't need to pocket their jewelry anymore. But not quite enough to get you out of the trade completely." She turned hard.
"Okay, Jesse, what's this about?"
She looked at her watch, made an impatient face.
"Tick-tock, things to do."
"Like spend $6 million?
"I don't know what you're talking about."
Jesse left the room. When he came back in, he thumped a green duffel bag down on the table in front of her and laid a plastic-covered rifle and scope beside it. He opened the duffel and exposed the banded packs of bills. "We've got two more duffels just like it in the evidence locker. Game over, Bella. You lose." She tried denial.
"I don't know what you're talking about, Jesse. I really don't. Stan told me the exchange was made and the tape was destroyed. What has any of this to do with me?"
He put his face very close to hers. "Don't screw around with me, Bella. Just don't. Like I told that idiot ex-friend of mine, Roscoe Niles, there's hard time and there's really hard time. As hot as you are now, what do you think a 10 or 20-year stretch in prison will do to your looks? At least you'll be popular inside, really popular. That much I can guarantee you."
"I wanna..."
Jesse cut her off, walking up to the mirrored glass. "Don't say those words. You say the word lawyer and this stops being a negotiation." He finger-combed his hair.
"Negotiation?" She perked up. "Why didn't you say so? What do you want?"
"I have some pretty nasty suspicions about you, but I don't want you, Bella."
"Too bad," she said, standing and coming close to him. "I certainly want you. Even if it wasn't part of the deal, I would have wanted you, Jesse. You intrigue me. Men or women, they don't usually turn me down."
"What would Roscoe have said to that?" She laughed a particularly cruel laugh.
"That fat, limp old drunk. Talk about living in the past. He's lucky there are drugs for his condition. I thought I'd gotten past having to force myself to be with the likes of him, the teacher. I taught him some things, all right."
"But you had the prospect of 6 million reasons to force yourself to be with him."
"I'm not saying another word until you put something on the table other than props I may or may not know anything about."
By the way, Bella, Jesse said, that fat, limp old drunk was ready to roll over on you for a cup of coffee. So don't give yourself too much credit. Jesse lied to get under her skin. It worked. What are you offering me? He explained that given her involvement in extortion, fraud, conspiracy, and other assorted crimes, there was no way she could avoid at least a little time in prison. But that depending on what she gave him, he could probably get her time limited to a few years in minimum security. You'd be out in 18 months, and we'd make sure you didn't get passed around. You say no to me, Bella, and I walk right out of here to Roscoe's cell and make him an offer. Going once, going twice. Sold, damn it. Sold. What do you need from me? The whole thing, from start to finish. Details, names, dates. He pulled a legal pad out of the table drawer, pulled a pen out of his pocket, and placed them in front of her. Everything, Bella. You leave anything out, and it's no deal. I've already got Roscoe cold. Bascom's dead, but I want Stan White and Evan Updike. She laughed that cruel laugh again. Jesse asked, I say something funny? I can give you Stan, but Updike's going to be an issue. How's that? He's dead. Stan killed him 20 years ago.